13. Praise God. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. The text is provided on the screen as well. If you didn't bring your Bible, bring a Bible next time. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14. If you're there, say amen. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. Everybody say prize. How many has ever won a prize? Did you get excited? Huh? Yeah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 14 together in concert. Nice, clear, loud. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for the wonderful Word of God. Thank you for the year of 2013. But God, I believe 2014 is going to bring better things. I pray in our growth and maturity and times of revival, I pray that 2014 would just be a dynamic year for us spiritually. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in His presence. Navigating the next chapter. Navigating the next chapter. I read this afternoon, it's been said that an optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. Pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. But I guess whether you stay up this evening for either of those reasons, one thing's hard to believe, that we're about to enter the 14th year of the 2000s. Anybody remember the panic over Y2K? Do you believe that was 14 years ago? I mean, it's kind of silly now when we look back at it. We all stayed up that night, didn't we? Wondering if the world as we knew it was going to crumble and things were going to come flying apart. But here, if the Lord tarries in a couple hours, we'll start 2014. And as with any new year, we have new opportunities for fresh starts. I've got a number of things I'd like to accomplish personally. I've got things that I'd like to see accomplished in the ministry of the church. And the new year is always a good time to reflect on that, celebrate, and then anticipate. And it's probably the same way with all of us, because we look at a new year and think of the things that we really need to accomplish. And maybe it's a health goal or a business goal or a spiritual goal that we seek to address. However you look at it, the new year is a great time to turn the page and enter into a new chapter. And with that comes maybe change, which can be difficult. With it comes transition, which can even be more difficult than change, because if you didn't know there's a difference, there is a difference between change and transition. Change is usually an external activity. Transition is usually an internal attitude. Follow me? Let me say that again. If you're taking notes, write it down. Change is an external activity. Transition is an internal attitude, because transition is letting go of the way things used to be and taking hold of the way they've become. Transition can be exciting and positive, or it can be discouraging and difficult. However, our emotional and spiritual health as believers are dependent on being able to navigate through the transitions in life by letting go inwardly of what has come to pass in order to take hold of what is coming ahead. And we are able to do this better when we recognize that each year is another chapter in the story of our lives. And many are no doubt in the process of transitions in your life or in your family, and questions come and to your mind like, can I do this? Or what's going to be next? Or what will I do? Or who am I going to be in the new year? You know, is there any guidance that will help us make healthy, holy change or transition in these chapters? And tonight, I want us to think about our years as chapters, okay? And we can see that with any good book, I don't know if you're a book reader or not, but I like books. And with any good book, you always need a good transition to take you from one chapter to the next. Have you ever read a book that just like, he was like, seriously, is that the end of the chapter? It's just abrupt. So what does it take to write godly life stories? Our lives are all writing stories. How can we write a story that becomes a blessing? How many want to be a blessing? How many want to be a curse? All right, just making sure. Paul gives us some pointers here that I want us to look at. Okay? Let me get my clock. I don't want to hold you till midnight because we've got something else that's starting at 9:30. Right? I got that. Paul gives us some pointers. How do you want to be a blessing in your life? How are you going to transition? Well, first of all, in a roundabout way, Paul tells us, number one, we must leave the previous chapter. Say it with me. We must leave the previous chapter. We can't start the next chapter of our lives if we keep rereading the last one. Our lives are not limited to just a single chapter. When we come to the end of a chapter, we turn the page, and we must be careful not to get stuck in the past chapter. It may have been a good chapter. It may have been a good year. But it's almost over. Time has a way of moving forward. Nothing stays the same. And it tells us something. We're not to be left behind. You know, as I look through Scripture, this is what happened in the book called Exodus. Turn there if you want to. The book of Exodus. Israel grew comfortable in Egypt until years turned into centuries. Right? How many? 400 years. Upon their first arrival in Egypt, they became prosperous. They had large families. They had food to eat. But I believe they overstayed their time. And soon the new Pharaoh, the Bible says, that took the throne, knew not Joseph. Huh? Uh-oh. And he ascended the throne, and he enslaved the people. Things became urgent, and the Israelites got ready for change. They cried, the Bible says, unto the Lord. God heard them. Thank God He delivered them. But you look at this. They had a problem. This little nation of Israel had a problem. They didn't want to let go of the past. Right? They had difficulty with change. That's why they had a transition period in the wilderness that lasted how long? Somebody remember? Wasn't it 40 years? They were called by God to become an independent holy nation, but their past world, all of them knew, was Egypt. So they continued to think like Egyptians. They continued to talk like Egyptians, eat what Egyptians ate. They were stuck in the Egyptian chapter. They knew God was calling them to live like Hebrews. They wanted to go back to Egypt, but and instead of moving forward into the promise, they were unwilling to turn the page. They could not envision their future story without the leeks and the cucumbers of Egypt, the Bible says. And they were stuck in the previous chapter. Have you ever known individuals like that? Sometimes, how many's ever attended a high school reunion? You go and you hear and rehear the stories of those that are still living in the past. Many people present their lives by just telling us all the story of their glory days. And the problem is, being stuck in the past chapter means they don't have a lot of hope for the future chapter. Now, how many know that leads to despair? Is that not true? Am I making sense? Paul knew that, and so he wrote, forget it. Forget what lies behind. Press forward. And what lay behind Paul? Well, you look in Scripture, he was an educated Pharisee. He excelled in everything he did. But God called Paul one day to take a different direction. He had to leave the previous chapter, and he opened the next chapter and became the greatest missionary of our world. Now, how many's ever had an old book that the pages were uncut? Years ago, books were often printed, and I think I have a couple in my library. Years ago, books were often printed with eight or more pages printed on a single large sheet of paper. These sheets were folded down to make what publishers called a gathering. In earlier times, printers and binders often did not trim the edges. They chose to issue their books and release them with the edges uncut and unopened. And then you buy them, and it was difficult, if not impossible, to read because the uncut sheets literally prevented you from reading them because they were closed. So before you could turn the page and go into the next chapter, you had to hold that page and find you a sharp object and place it in the center of that fold and slowly cut upward and cut those pages, and then you could progress forward. What an idea! How many know the devil wants to sew your pages shut? He'd love to for you to be stuck in the past, and sometimes you may have to look at a pair of scissors and right on the edge of the scissors, cut the page. It's just something to remind you that you're going to have to disassociate with some past chapters in your life. Hello? Has anybody got any chapters you've come through that you don't like to go revisit? How many know the devil likes to revisit those chapters? There are things we need to cut away from our lives. There are relationships we need to serve disconnection notices to. There are habits we have to amputate from our daily routine. Is that all right? Don't allow a guilt trip from the past to strangle you or cling to you or trip you up now. Go ahead, cut the page, turn the page. God wants to free us from the bondage of anything or anyone, for that matter, that seeks to control our lives. Cut the pages that tie you to the old mud holes of your life. You know, I was reading this afternoon. They said if a lamb, a sheep, and a pig fall into the same dirty, oozing mud hole, the pig is going to wallow in it and he'll enjoy it. But the lamb will cry out, "Get me out of here." Obviously, he doesn't say that. But if we're a child of God and we fall, if you're a child of God, it should be your nature to say, I don't like it down here. I want out of this. I'm not really like this. I despise this. Somebody help me. It's time to cut the cords that tie us to the old mud holes of our lives. Whether we fall into the mud or someone throws us there is not the issue. Are we going to stay there or are we going to get out? That's what matters. Because let's realize that there is something in our nature that defies our environment. There is something inside of us that is able to cut that cord. And some people need to turn the page and say goodbye to their past. Goodbye to the influences of the past. Goodbye to the gambling. Goodbye to the drinking. Goodbye to the addictions. Goodbye to the divorces and the failure and the loss that you've suffered. Goodbye. All right, are you awake? Don't go to sleep on me. Some of you need to pronounce your own benediction over your former life. You may have to conduct your own little funeral of the old person that you once were before you were saved. Declare, hey, that's the old me. Is anybody in here a new creature? Declare that the old sinful patterns of your life and the old sin-producing relationships, they're gone. Declare any dominating evil spirit. Declare that you evict it from your life. Hello, have you ever had to go to battle in prayer? I've just about got upset at the devil so many times. I've just broke out in the prayer room. Just had to take a little time and put him under my feet. Hello. It's a good way to start a new year. Start out with the devil under your feet, church. Oh, come on. I'm going to preach. I said, I'm going to preach tonight. It's time to start out the new year with the devil under your feet. How many remember that old saying, write a message to the devil, where? On the bottom of your feet. And see, this is what I look at this and the old you died, it's buried, and the new you has been resurrected. And so as you cut the page, get ready for, I'm praying, Lord, give us a new enthusiasm in Broadway Assembly. Give us a new outpouring of faith. Give us a new freshness of anointing. Lord, the old was good and it was great while it lasted and we enjoyed it. But God, there's something about the freshness of your spirit. When we come in here on Sunday morning, Lord, it's a brand new year. Let us have a brand new vision to worship God in fear and respect and purity and holiness. God, will you release in us a new freedom and help us to embrace the freedom? I'm not saying everybody's got to shout till you drop. I'm just saying let's worship. If you're one that cries, you go ahead and let the tears roll. If you're one to just get down and bury your head in the pew, then you get down and bury your head. But talk to Jesus and worship Him however you feel. But don't let anything stop you. Go ahead and approach the new year with a brand new enthusiasm and shift it into the next gear and say, God, I'm going to run a little faster for you. I'm going to work a little harder for you. And I'm going to praise a little louder for you. Praise God. Do you realize tonight, 150 years ago, this very night, slaves were in America. They were shut up in a church waiting to hear whether or not the Emancipation Proclamation, an executive order issued by President Abraham Lincoln, January the 1st, 1863, they were waiting to see if it was signed or not. Did you know it proclaimed the freedom of slaves in 10 states that were still in rebellion, thus applying to about 3.1 million slaves that were here in the U.S. at that time? They were waiting on this night. That's where the term watch night service came from. Did you know that? Watch night service. It's where a bunch of slaves got together in a church waiting to hear whether they were going to be free from their past or not. Did you hear me? That was where a bunch of slaves got together in church waiting to hear whether Abraham Lincoln signed it at 12:01 that morning to let them know they're going to be free. So 151 years later, here we are sitting in this church. I want to proclaim to somebody tonight, every chain that's been holding you back, everything that's been shutting you down, everything that's been blocking your way, Christ has come and declared you're free tonight. I feel like preaching, so walk like you're free, talk like you're free, think like you're free. I'm tired of the bondage. I said, somebody, thank God you're free. The restrictions, the limitations, I'm waking some folks up, the restrictions and limitations, the intimidations, the fears or the curses of your childhood or your past, whatever's been holding you back, you need to trust God, it's going to be broken. Woo! You better turn me down, Brother Tim. I'm feeling too good. This is the last sermon I'm going to preach in 2013. I told the devil, I'm going to give it all I got. I said, I'm going to give it all I got. Why? Because he's not going to slow down. He knows his time is short. It's time we, the church, rise up and say, God, you've given me another year. I'm going to worship you with it. All right, calm down, Jones. Praise God. In the back, are you asleep back there? Okay, don't keep me up too loud. I don't want anybody to leave. I don't want to run them away. Okay, so somebody say I'm stepping into a new chapter and a new year. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. I get excited. Turn the next chapter. Whew. So, the first point was simple. You have to leave. You have to leave one chapter. Second point is, turn the next chapter. The greatest thing about the next chapter is for us, it's not been written yet. Follow me? We can't unwrite the past chapter. But the future chapter is a different story. It's full of endless possibilities. And there's a word for that. The Bible, Paul, 1 Corinthians 13. There's three great things in the believer's life that he says is the best. And one of them is hope. Remember that? Faith, hope, and love. Why is hope so great to a believer? Because hope is rooted not in the past, but hope is always rooted in the what? Future. In this passage in Philippians 3:12, give us a couple lessons we learned from Paul. Number one is, no matter our current circumstances, we can move on to better and greater things. That's what Paul was talking about here when he says, I'm not there yet. Paul was an old man when he wrote this. According to the chronology of the text, it seems he was under house arrest in Rome. Just a few short years from him putting his head on the chopping block. That's when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Now, he could have sat back and quote-unquote retired from ministry, from writing. But he was of the opinion he still had work to do. And more than that, he still needed to know Christ better. Do you catch that in this text? Here's a guy who had known Christ for over a decade and ministered, had a relationship with God that most folks could only dream of. And yet here he says, it's not enough. It's not enough. Wow. Somebody say, wow. It didn't matter that he was under house arrest when he wrote this. It didn't matter that he was an older man. It didn't matter what his current circumstance was. He writes and he says, I need more Jesus. And he was willing to make every effort to see that it happens. And that Paul, what an example. And he leads us, secondly, he shows us that moving on only happens by intentional effort. There's a word that doesn't fit real well with learning to live for Christ and serve Him. And that's the word convenience. Everybody say convenience. Now, I love convenience. Don't we all love convenience? And I love only working or praying or studying or whatever when it's convenient. I love that. But listen, words of Paul here in the passage. He says, I press on. I strain, I stretch toward what is ahead. And that goes against what I think most Christians would think it takes to know Christ and serve Him better. I mentioned Paul's circumstances and how he didn't let him get in his way. He did what it took within his current circumstance without making excuses. He just did it. He just did it. Christ was worth every effort for Paul. And if we'll make the effort, we'll find Christ is going to be worth it for us. Paul was determined to move on from his past and from his present circumstances so that he could gain more of Christ. And finally, the goal, he says, was always worth the effort. You see, Paul uses the word prize, not just a wage, not just a paycheck, a prize. When we focus on Christ and we live for Him, Paul is saying we are always winners. Isn't that great? Winners only receive prizes, right? Prizes only come to winners. And I think so many people have, you know, a kind of a lukewarm relationship with Christ and no desire to live for Him because they see the work and they focus on the work and they don't see the prize. Does that make sense? People will put a, for example, maybe guys will put a picture of a boat on the refrigerator. And we'll work, putting in as much overtime as we can, scrimping and saving and sacrificing so we can get that boat or whatever, whatever your hobby is. But how come a lot of folks, we won't do that for Christ? We'll work for what we can see, but we won't work for something that helps our souls. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. I'm pressing. Paul says that everything that he's done or had, it isn't worth what he can gain through knowledge and knowing Christ and serving Him. It's not, he can't hold a candlestick. You know, and so I was thinking this afternoon, Lord, help me value Christ like Paul did. Is that all right? I think that would help us. Help me value Christ like Paul valued Him. If you know what, if I fail to see it sometimes myself, God help all of us to see that the prize is always going to be worth the effort. And the bottom line of what I want to communicate is that through Paul's words here is that he decided to turn the page of his past, and even he decided to turn the page of his present circumstances, and he wanted to move on, and the new year gives us the opportunity to do that. And he says, we got to keep the prize in mind. We got to keep the conclusion in mind. In all our transition, the prize is the one thing that's constant. How many know this final chapter someday is going to end? It's going to end. That's why we got to keep the conclusion in mind. And if 2013 has been one of those chapters and you're ready to close it and end that chapter, go ahead, leave the chapter. Turn the page. Turn it into the next chapter. Keep the conclusion, the big picture in mind. Christ, Christ. All right? Now, let me suggest five things here that we need to turn the page on over the next year. First of all, turn the page on a lukewarm relationship with Christ. I told myself today, Lord, I want to have a burning, white hot, passionate desire for you in 2014. What does that look like? Well, it looks like spending time with God, spending time with His Word, spending time in prayer. Young people, if you've never developed that habit, start today. And that, is that okay? Mom and Dad, am I teaching the kiddos okay? Start today. If you've never developed that habit, and you know what? You can download an app on your phone to read the Bible through in 90 days. Forget it. Forget that. If you have not read your Bible for 5 minutes a day and you think you're going to read it through in 90 days, forget it. I'll save you the trouble. It ain't going to happen. You'll burn out in 5 days.
You'll be, oh my God, there's a lot to digest.
Right? So if you're here and you've not started that time, start out by 5 minutes. I am going to have 5 minutes set aside from everything else. Get where you're not distracted. Turn your phone off. Put the games aside. Hello. 5 minutes in the Word of God, uninterrupted. It's a good place to start. Now you're saying, what are you talking about? Only 5 minutes? I'm not saying that. No. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. 5 minutes reading the Bible. And then, if you haven't started the habit of prayer,
bless God, I try to spend 30 minutes every day.
Don't start with 30 minutes if you're not praying at all. You're going to have to start with 5 minutes of prayer. Uninterrupted prayer. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying give up on the half-hearted obedience to Christ. Get past the lip service and let's get some life service. Jesus says that if we love Him, we'll obey Him. We'll be committed to Him. And if we don't obey Him, then we don't really love Him. So strengthen your relationship with Him through His Word, through prayer. And now, strengthen your relationship with His bride. What's that, Pastor? Well, I think the New Testament tells us plainly that His bride is the church. Strengthen your relationship with the church. Whatever it takes. That's what we're saying. Turn the page on a lukewarm, mediocre relationship with Christ. Turn that page. I'm going to get into a new chapter. Next, turn the page. I'm just hitting some things, and this is not an all exclusive list. I've just jotted down about five different areas to turn the page. Turn the page on any unforgiveness. You don't want to go into a new year with unforgiveness. And you see, some of you have been hurt. We've all been hurt. Some of us have been hurt badly. Some of us have been hurt a little bit. But in any case, if you're holding on to that and you refuse to forgive, then you're not only hurting that other person, you're really hurting yourself. Yeah. Scripture says, on one occasion says, don't let the sun what? Don't let it go down on your anger, your wrath, your unforgiveness. Some have let hundreds of suns go down on their wrath, their anger, unforgiveness. Well, you say, but Pastor, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. I know. Believe me, I know. But neither do you. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here honestly believe that they have the right to demand forgiveness from God? Raise your hand if you do. Do you have a right to demand forgiveness from God? I hope not, because we don't have that right. Now listen closely here. We don't have the right to withhold forgiveness to others any more than we have the right to demand forgiveness for ourselves. Paul wasn't sitting in the house prison when he wrote this passage saying, those mean old Romans, I'll get them. No, in fact, this whole letter of his imprisonment, Philippian letter, is filled with his own joy. Do you ever notice that? And he's urging us to be joyful as well. He says, don't let bitterness and unforgiveness take root in your heart. Don't let it rot your soul. Folks, when we choose to forgive and when we choose to drop the grudge, we are set free. There's a freedom that comes. We may not think we can do it because the hurt is too great. All I can say is that there are those who have had greater hurts than we have, but through God's grace, they were able to forgive. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. They couldn't do it either, but they needed the help of God. And so they ask Him for the strength to forgive, just as Christ did forgive. And He did it. Bitterness is a chain to our soul. We break the chain by asking God to help us turn the page on unforgiveness. Oh, praise God. How many want to go into the new year with a new page and a new chapter? See, and then next, turn the page on that sin. And this is kind of general. What do you mean by that? I think that in many cases, there's something that we've struggled with in the past. And maybe even we've given up on conquering it. You know what it is for you. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's breaking the confidence of a friend. Or maybe it's looking at inappropriate material. Maybe it's plain laziness and not taking responsibility. Whatever it is, Paul lets us know we can turn the page on that sin. Wow. Ask God to help you get a handle on whatever it is and get a hold of any of the resources that you need and move on. Why? Because you don't have to stay a captive to that chapter in your life. Paul said us in Romans that in Christ we're set free. We can turn the page on any destructive behavior. Turn the page. Turn to your neighbor and say, turn the page. Now check this one out. Here's one. Turn the page on handling God's money your way. Of everything I'm going to say, this is probably one that will get under people's skin the most. Money is one of those areas that people cling to the hardest. We all do it. It comes natural. Do you know that Christ talks more about money in Scripture than He does about heaven or hell? Why do we think He did that? I think it's because He knew how tightly we want to hang on to it. But let me point out something quickly here. It's not our money to begin with. Everything we have in terms of money or ability to earn, it's a gift from who? God. A gift from God. It's His, and if we'll listen to what He says about how we handle it, how many know it'll go farther? And we'll have more peace about it, whether we have a little or a lot. We don't have to, you don't take my word for it, but at least take God's word for it. He's not a liar. He's not a liar. He knows what He's talking about. Amen. that okay? Did I lose you on that shuffle? Another one. Turn the page on mediocrity. You know, they say mediocrity is the default position in life. Anybody can be mediocre, and most people are, especially when it comes to living for Christ and serving Him. Excellence, on the other hand, is rarely achieved without intentional effort. I'm not saying perfection. Excellence is stepping up to a whole new level. So let me suggest, is there any area where you can step up to the next level in your relationship with Christ? That's what I've reflected in my life today. In my relationship with others, with your family, with your work life. How many know Christ is our model? And when you look in Mark chapter 7, verse 37, people were overwhelmed. The Bible says when they looked upon Him, they marveled with amazement, because they said, He has done everything well. I don't have that verse in front of me, but in essence, that's what they were saying. They looked at Christ and they said, wow, He puts His best into it. I want to be the best I can be for Jesus Christ in 2014. Praise God. So, church, don't let this year be the same old, maybe that it's been in years past. As the musicians come, make this year your best year. Walk with Christ. Take your service, your commitment to Christ to the next level. We live in an age where commitments wane very easily. How many have seen that? The fire can grow cold. The embers that were once red hot. If we distance ourselves from the bride of Christ, which is His church, if we start making excuses and signing up for extra workloads or choruses, classes, I understand you got a life to live. We all got a life to live. I'm the only one, well, in the staff that are paid to do church work. I understand that. But let's guard that over the next year. Because I see some folks that God wants to take to the next level. And He can only do that when we avail ourselves to Him. Let's stand together. I've talked about turning the page, navigating, negotiating the next chapter. Is anybody ready to move on tonight? There's a few of you. Is anybody ready to move on tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Let me close with this. How many know Satan, once you turn the next page, he'll come to you in different ways, forms and fashions, and maybe even through people, and they'll try to turn the page back. Has anybody ever had somebody try to turn the page back to your past? Recall some old things you used to do? The devil's good at that. What we have to do is stand in the face of that and say, no, 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 I've turned that page. Satan, the blood of Jesus, helped me turn that page. Oh, somebody thank the Lord. Satan, you've come too late, because that page has been turned But not only turn it, but allow Christ to seal it with His blood. Seal that chapter shut. I'm talking to somebody right here. This might be the most important part of this sermon. Somebody needs to let the blood of Jesus seal that chapter shut. No friends, no family, no Satan, no imps from hell can reopen that chapter. Why? It's been sealed shut. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not even going to entertain it. I'm not going to look in the rearview mirror anymore. Why? Because my eye is on Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher. Oh, let somebody shout hallelujah. It's been sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's not going to be opened anymore. Oh, praise Him right now. Praise Him right now. Somebody, if 2013 has been a terrible year for you, if it's been a year of sin and temptation and falling down, I want you to allow the blood of Jesus to seal that chapter shut. In Jesus' name, reach up to Him right now. Reach up to Him right now. Blood of Jesus is here. He's here. I felt Him while I was preparing. God is here in this service. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, just let Your blood seal the chapter shut on the past. Oh, glory, 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 glory. We're moving forward. We're moving forward in Jesus' name. I hope I haven't taken too much of your time. Would you slip out of your seat and make your way to the front? Let's have one final time of prayer around these altars in 2013. In 2013, right here, it's the final altar service. Do you want to walk into 2014 with victory? Do you want to walk in with higher spiritual temperature? Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, go ahead. Somebody's going to let the blood of Jesus seal that chapter shut. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Yes, Lord.
But by His grace, now I am saved, living in victory.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for
thank
the blood.
God I'm
the blood's
not
covered it. The blood
not,
has sealed
not
it.
What,
I'm moving
not
on.
What I used to be. Jesus forgave my sin. Now I am washed, pure and clean. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But by His grace, now I am saved, living in victory. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Jesus forgave my sin. Now I am washed. I am clean. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But by His grace, now I am saved, living.